Hello, and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given on Sunday morning, September the 1st, by Lee Younger, from Jeremiah chapter 2.
For a few weeks in here, I'm going to be talking about some of our basic vocabulary. Just as people that believe in Jesus, what are kind of the basic words that we all say and sing and know, and yet, if you cornered me, I don't know if I could define it, or I don't know if it would take me an hour and a half to try to define it. Like, what is our basic vocabulary? We looked at the word gospel last week, and today I'm going to do the one that nobody wants to talk about, which is sin. Yay. So that'll be fun. What I want to do, I don't know who that was, but that is awesome. I'm so pumped that you're so excited. It was probably D-Rod. I'm so glad you're back, brother. Here's the thing. I know that as soon as that word comes out of my face, just it's like, hey, we're going to talk about sin. Everybody gets a little triggered. Like, you know, it's like everybody just tenses up a little bit. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? What's about to happen to me? And what I want to say to you is I want to ask you to go with me. I want to ask you to kind of untense yourself, lean forward, and to trust me. Let's go through this together. We're going to talk about what sin is. And what's the deal with it? What's the big deal with sin? And basically, like how we can understand it and know it so that we change. Nobody wants to make anybody feel bad or judged or condemned or anything like that. So I know that if you're anything like me, that you've had people who have had a microphone at church who have worked really hard to make you feel really bad about the sin in your life. That's not what's going to happen. That's not what this is. We know because we believe in Jesus, if you've called out in the name of Jesus, your sin has been paid for. It is as separated as far as the east is from the west. Amens belong there. Like you don't ever have to, you're never going to be condemned. You're never going to be punished, any of those things. So we can all kind of relax, be in this together, stack hands and say, let's understand this. Let's understand what sin is. Let's understand what's happening. So can we do that? Will you guys go with me? Everybody kind of loosen up, ready for this? Okay, let's do it. Okay. Now, the funny thing is that when people start defining what sin is, there's a lot of different ways to do it. They want to kind of separate out, like, okay, are you talking about like the list of naughty things that people do? Or are you talking about that principle inside us that is like magnetizes me towards the wrong things? I think it's all kind of part of the same deal. I'm not going to make a huge distinction between the naughty list and the principle inside you that's all broken and busted and causing you to do wrong things. We're going to break all of that down. But we need to start here, which is every one of us is a big fat sinner. Like, and not, by the way, not theoretically, okay? Not like, I mean, theoretically, I guess we're all sinners. Not like that. I'm not theoretically a sinner. I'm not theologically, I guess, if you look at my theology, then you would say that I'm a sinner. I'm not technically a sinner. I'm actually one. Like, daily one. Hourly one. I have real stuff that I need to go to people and say, I'm sorry, I have sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? This is so embarrassing. Like, I'm actually one. And by the way, so are you. So, you know, don't look at me that way, you know? We're actually sinners. Okay, we actually have stuff. What I want to do is, and sometimes people will say like, sin, it's that whole thing about, there's a, you know, the Greek word has to do with archery and there's a target, maybe, I don't know. Let's look at how the Bible actually just defines sin. This comes out of the book of 1 John in chapter 3. John says this, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. So this is the way the Bible describes it. It's rule breaking, it is. It's the naughty stuff you do and think and say. It is. It is. Like, God is God, and he has the right to tell you what to do with your life, what to think, what to say, how to act, how to react, all of that stuff. And sin is me saying, no, I do my thing. Like, I talk and act and think and react the way I want to. You have your rules, God, but I do me. So that is the thing. I mean, it is the list. And yeah, it happens because I'm all broken and busted way down inside me. And I was made, you know, ever since the fall, we've all been born this way. But it is the stuff I do. And it is the stuff I think and say. It also is defined this way over in the book of Romans, Paul says, this is one of those encompassing ones. Romans 14, Paul says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. Thanks. That's casting a wide net. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. I don't pretend to know exactly what that means in total, but I do know that it means this. Sometimes God is going to call you into things that require courage. He's going to call you into things that require you to step out, to have some faith. And you're like, no. And so here's the deal is like, so far with these definitions of sin, it's like, when it's like sin is lawlessness, it's breaking rules, it's stuff that I do that's wrong and naughty and bad, okay? It is that stuff. That is sin. But sin is also things that I don't do that I should have. Things I've done and things I've left undone. Things that would have required courage and faith and I didn't do it. Things that would have required love and I didn't have it. And things that I know that I shouldn't have done and I did them. These are sins. This is how the Bible defines it. And in fact, when Peter talks about Jesus going to the cross to pay for sin, he's not talking about just that broken system down inside me that magnetizes me towards the wrong thing. He says that Jesus paid for my sins, plural, for those things, the things I did and the things I left undone. That's what it is. This is what sin is. It's my lawlessness. It's my fear. It's my arrogance that I know how to run my life. The thing about it is, I want to look at that and say, like, okay, why is this happening? What is the principle that's going on? And I'm going to try to keep this as dirt simple as I can because I would want to understand it if I was sitting where you are. So you let me know if we need to keep breaking it down, okay? Can we make that deal? Like, just give me like a look on your face like, what? And I'll know that we need to keep breaking it down. Okay, simplest form I can think of goes like this. God made you and he wanted a relationship with you. He wanted a relationship with you where you and he are tight. He wanted a relationship with me where he and I are tight and close, where I'm always coming to him and always dependent on him. The problem is, and so the way that he set this up is he made me and you full of all kinds of needs. And his idea was, I'm going to make you super duper needy, and then I'm going to come up with a way to meet all of your needs. That is going to be an awesome relationship because I know how to perfectly satisfy every single one of your needs. I'm going to give you a hunger, and then I'm going to invent amazing things like beef lo mein. Because God is a genius, you know? And so it's like you have hunger and then I'm gonna invent pizza or I'm gonna invent some dude that's gonna invent pizza. You know, it's like, this is such an amazing arrangement. I love you and I want this close relationship with you. So I'm gonna make you with needs and then I'm gonna make an answer for the need. So cool. And so then I've gotta be all dependent on him for the need. Does that make sense? So he makes you with all kinds of emotional needs. And all kinds of psychological needs, with sexual needs and all kinds of other physical needs and all just tons of different things. So you want to be loved and you want to be seen. You want to be recognized and you want to be understood and you want to be valued and you want to feel like I'm appreciated and people get me and people are pumped when I walk into the room because I have value and I am liked and I have this deep, deep need for that, right? We all do. We want to know this stuff. I want to know when I walk into a room that people care and that people know me and that I have people in my life who love and value me. But I got all kinds of needs. And God is saying, I put those inside you. And what I want to do is I want to meet all of them in my way, in my timing. God has a way and a time to meet every single need that you have. And when we come to him in neediness and honesty and dependence and just let him meet all of those needs, that is a beautiful and an awesome relationship. Here's the problem. A lot of the needs meeting that God does, he does it in his timing, which is frankly super slow. Okay, let's just be honest about it. way too slow. Because anything that's not right now is super slow. Late. You're late. Like, he's out. Like, God has his timing, and he's late. Like, let's just be real about it. As far as I'm concerned, you're always late, okay? And I'm always on time. And the feeling that I get is frustration from that. What he wants is, in the middle of a broken and busted world, I want you to trust me that sometimes you're going to wait. And I'm going to meet it, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to meet your needs for being known and being appreciated and needs for pleasure and needs for everything. I'm going to meet those things. And sometimes I'm going to ask you to wait. And you're going to trust me, and you're going to learn all kinds of stuff. And then I meet it, and you're going to find out how good I am. It's this whole cool thing. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds really good, right until I'm hungry. And then I'm hangry. Y'all know what that means. I want needs met when? Now. Now. Like right now. I don't want to wait. So what we do is we feel a need, we feel an emptiness, we feel a hunger or a thirst for some appreciation, for somebody to value me, and I go grab it anywhere I can. Any place that I think might meet that thing, I'm going to go take it. Needs to be known, needs to be recognized, needs to be valued. If I feel like I'm not getting enough value, I will demote somebody else just to make myself feel a little bit more lifted up, right? Y'all are way too quiet. Y'all do that too. Y'all do that too. Here's the thing. God made me with these needs. He wants to meet them in his way and his time. I don't want to wait on his way and his time. I'm going to go grab them. That's the heart of what sin is. It's not just like, you're naughty, you do naughty things. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that you have legitimate needs and you meet them in your own way. Here's the really interesting thing about that. That means that whatever sin anybody does, it makes sense. It makes sense. When you see somebody in the middle of a big old fat sin, it makes sense. They're actually doing their best guess. This is what they think is going to satisfy that need. Like, in a much, like in a not deeply, deeply hurtful enough way, let me paint the picture like this. Let's say the best cook you know is saying, I want you to come over to the house. I'm going to make your favorite dish. It's going to have appetizers. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be perfectly timed. It's going to be hot when you come over. 6 o'clock, I'll see you there. And you're like, oh, yeah. I can't wait. And then at 4 o'clock, you start to get hungry and you're like, just got to make it till 6. Just got to make it till 6. And then you drive by the Crystal. You're like, you know, they are really small. It's probably not going to ruin the dinner completely if I get a Crystal chick or 8. That's like a really silly picture of what the heart of sin is. Somebody who loves me and has made me full of needs and wants to meet them in a beautiful way and satisfy them completely might ask me to wait and trust him, and he wants to teach me all kinds of things through that dependent relationship, and I can't wait. And so when I screw up again and again and again, what I'm doing is I'm robbing myself, right? My sin is always robbing myself. I'm always hurting me, sometimes hurting others, and it's always less. That's the key thing to realize. It's always less. Y'all, even if you like Crystal, it's less. It's less, and you're going to pay on the I was going to say on the backside of that, but that's really, I don't know if we can say that in church. You're going to pay. You know, it's always less. You know, if you hear somebody say God hates sin, it's not because he hates you, it's because he loves you. And it's always us robbing ourselves. So what are we going to do? We all have this list. We all have these things we do. We all have this broken principle inside us that's magnetizing us towards the wrong way. What do we do with it? Well, here's what's not going to help. Feeling super bad about it. So if that's you, and if I've made you feel super bad about it, then I apologize. That's not what I intended. Let's talk afterwards. Because you feeling super bad about your stuff is never going to help you change one thing. Guilt has never let anybody change one thing in their life for more than a couple of days. And anybody that's researched it like I have knows what I'm talking about. If you feel super bad, congratulations, you're not going to change. That's just going to make you frustrated. And then it's going to make your heart hard. It doesn't help. It's also not going to help for you to walk out of here and say, well, okay, I understand the principle now. I'm always going for less and always robbing myself. I'm just going to will myself into not going for less anymore. Your willpower is, it's good for as long as until that next need hits. The next time you're hungry, Crystal sounds real good again. That's the whole problem with willpower. It has power as long as you feel it. And then as soon as you feel something else, it dissipates, it's gone, it evaporates, it's over. Feeling super bad is not going to change anything. You gritting your teeth is going to change even less. What do we do with this? Here's the cool thing. We do with this information what you did the very first time that you were honest about the fact you were a sinner. You go straight to Jesus. You go straight to him. When you watch him in the Gospels, you know who he has the most fun with? Sinners. You know who he's the most hype about? Sinners. You know the only people he yells about? The only people he yells at is the people who make sinners feel bad about their sin. He's like, would you please shut up? I'm doing a thing here. All of you guys, stop. I'm doing a thing. And it's with them. It's not with y'all. He called them snakes. Sinners who were honest about their sin. He said, y'all are my brothers and sisters. This is my family. These are my people. These are the people he's partying with. They said, he's the friend of sinners. And he's like, if I was going to get a tattoo, that would be the one. Friend of sinners. Go ahead, mark it down. That's who he is. There's this beautiful thing that happens in Luke chapter 7 where Jesus has been invited to dinner by this Pharisee. And this guy is, he thinks he's amazing, of course. And right in the middle of this dinner, this woman breaks in and she just is weeping and she starts pouring out this perfume on Jesus' feet. And then she takes her hair down and she's wiping his feet with her hair and then her tears. And then she's kissing him. And it's like, it's perfume, it's snot, it's tears. It's just, there's a lot of fluids happening. And then this Pharisee is looking at this whole scene. And he's like, if this guy was a prophet, he would know that she is a sinner. And Jesus is like, oh no, I know. And he tells his story where he says, basically the whole point of the story is the person who loves the most is the person who has been forgiven the most. The person who knows they need to be forgiven and is honest about it and goes to the one who is the sin forgiver. That's the happiest person in the room. That's the person who loves the most. You go to the sin forgiver. Here's what we do instead. This is Jeremiah chapter 2. To me, in the whole of the canon of Scripture, this captures the heart of sin as well as anything else. In Jeremiah chapter 2, the Lord says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. The Lord says, here's the deal. I am like a spring of water. It just keeps flowing. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know how this works. It's just cold and clear and clean and delicious and it's amazing and it's just always flowing. That's what I'm like. Just life and life again. And you want more? Come and get it. There's more life. That's what I'm like, the Lord says. And for some reason, what you want to do instead is dig a hole in the ground and say, you know what? I'll just keep the rainwater in this hole I have dug in the ground. Gross. But that's me. I mean, that's me, big time. That's what a cistern is. You know, it's like full of dirt, and there's grass in there, and there's probably bugs. It's like when people put those barrels on the side of their house and keep the rainwater. Like, I mean, I know that some of y'all do that. I'm not casting aspersions on you. I'm just saying you're not drinking that stuff. You know, you're putting that on your like flower beds or something like that. You're not bringing that into the house and serving that up to your guests. Here, have this dirt-laden water. That would be amazing. Like, nobody's drinking that. But the Lord says, this is the heart of what this is I have life for you. And instead, what you want is like, you want to drink out of this cup that's actually broken and doesn't hold anything. And that's me. And that's all of us. And if you can be real about that, and go straight to the one who says, I know, and I get it. I understand. It makes sense. You're always trying to fill up and satisfy a legitimate need. Let me walk through this with you. Let me do this with you. The thing I love about this lady in Luke chapter 7 is her whole heart is two things, love for and gratitude for Jesus. Feeling bad about our sin, never going to change us. Gritting our teeth and having a bunch of willpower, it's never going to change us. But if I understand that what I'm doing is I'm always trying to satisfy an actual good, legitimate need in some stupid way, again and again and again. And if I can be honest about that and be real about that and go straight to the sin forgiver with that and say, thank you. Thank you for paying for me. Thank you for understanding me. Thank you for loving me and giving me a chance to come back again and again. Then I'm going to find that's going to be the only power for change. There's a really interesting question. I'm going to end with this, and we're going to be done. I'm stealing this from a guy who died 200 years ago named John Newton. But he had a really interesting question, which was, why, when Jesus saved us, when we called out on the name of Jesus, why didn't he just get rid of our sin nature, like totally? Why didn't he just zap it so that you don't ever like do that anymore? You don't ever forsake the spring of living water and go to the broken cup anymore. Why didn't he just take that out? Like when we go to heaven, he will. Well, that'll be over. You won't sin anymore. Why would he leave our sin nature in? And he asked this really cool question. He said, or he made this really cool statement, which was, if the Holy Spirit's goal in Christianity was to get you to, you know, just stop sinning altogether, he said, then the Holy Spirit is terrible at his job, which I was like, whoa. I mean, you said it, dude. I didn't say it. I'm not going to say some stuff like that. But he said, if the Holy Spirit's goal, and to be perfectly honest, a lot of us, we think the goal of Christianity is to stop sinning. That's what we think the goal of this thing is, right? That's the way I was raised. The goal is to stop sinning. Where are you sinning? Please stop now. That was the goal of the whole thing. He said, if the Holy Spirit's goal was to get you to stop sinning, he is terrible at his goal. This guy said, because I'm 78 years old and I'm still rocking quite a few of them. He said, but, and this was amazing. He said, but what if the Holy Spirit's goal in leaving your sin nature in you the rest of the time that you walk on this earth, what if his goal in doing that was to keep you remembering how needy you are for Jesus? Just to keep you going back to Jesus again and again, so that you would be desperate, so that you would be dependent, so that you would have to go to Jesus and say, I need you again. I've stepped in it again. I've done it again. Do you love me? Oh, yes, I love you. Do you forgive me? Oh, yes, I forgive you. Are we cool? We are so cool. What if his goal was to do that, to keep you connected and tight to him? Dependent on him. He said, if that was his goal, then the Holy Spirit is a genius. He said, because in my 78th year, that's exactly what I'm doing, just running to Jesus every day. Loving him, thankful to him. I think loving Jesus and being thankful to him is the only way we're going to change. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for the chance to see ourselves, to understand it. To understand what our sin means. It's not going to do me any good to feel terrible. It's not going to do me any good to grit my teeth. But oh my goodness, if I can go ahead and be honest about it, about how much I'm selling myself short, about how much I'm hurting myself and others, and if I can come straight to you and say, I need you again. I'm thankful for you. I love you. That's going to change everything. That's the only way I'm going to grow. Lord, would you keep us honest, keep us loving you, and keep us thankful. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Are you hungry and naked and poor? Distressed and tormented, forlorn? In Christ is a suitable store for all that unto him come. He's bread and he's water and wine, the treasure you're longing to find. Cease your own efforts and fly to Christ the fountain. fountain of hope. Jesus, the source of life, Savior of deaf and blind, come rescue me from the sin where I dwell. Come rescue me from myself. I fashioned my idols in shame. I sought all they promised I'd gain. They robbed me and bound me with chains. Christ, you are all that I have. Jesus, the source of life, Savior of deaf and blind, come rescue me from the sin where I dwell. Hearts to rejoice, he calls in his own, know his voice. In Christ there is unending joy for all that.